living a movie, not living by rules. It's just a movie, don't lose your cool. Hey, welcome to another episode of Spoiled Movie Reviews, the premium movie podcast of the Blackout Tips Network. For all the people that, you know, pay to hear my opinion on movies, I appreciate y'all. And today's no exception. I actually have a guest today because I went to the movies and saw all these by myself. So Karen was not around for whatever reasons. And I had to go find people that, you know, someone that wasn't afraid of scary movies. So first things first, let me introduce you guys. You should know her already. She's been on the podcast before when we reviewed, I believe, This is the End. Mm-hmm. So it's Monica Castillo from Cinema Fix and M. Castie Movies on Twitter and Tumblr. And she writes for everything. Well, hey, how you doing, Monica?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's been a long time no talk to. I'm glad you decided to do some of these reviews with me.
I love doing reviews.
Well, today's movie review is gonna be Carrie, the new one. You know, there's about 70 of these, but the 2013 one that just came out. Starring Chloe Grace Moretz and Julianne Moore. Of course, for people that are new to Spoiled Movie Reviews, this is for people who either have seen the movie, haven't, like, don't ever plan on seeing the movie, or don't care about spoilers because we pretty much spoil everything. And Carrie and her mom, like, die in the end. Like, the house completely gets sucked in on top of them. But that girl that was nice to him gets to live. We keep it very simple here. We talk about what worked for the movie, what didn't work for the movie, and then we give it our rating, from 0 to 5 on the More Epic Than Love Jones, scale. The More Epic Than Love Jones scale, meaning that, 0 is man, fuck you, and, 5 is the fuck you waiting for. Go see this shit. Let's go ahead and get right into it. What about this film worked for you, Monica?
Ah, you got me starting on a positive note. Well, I would say that the acting is spot on. I mean, Julianne Moore is always amazing in whatever she's in. So that's irregardless. But I also thought Chloe Grace Moretz was pretty good. My complaint would be that she's just not right for the part. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, she's, you know, she's all right.
Mm-hmm. I would say what worked for me is not reading the book. I think that helps.
Me too.
And actually, like, I went back and watched, some of Brian De Palma's, movie too, yesterday. If you're listening to this, it's streaming on Netflix. So you mm-hmm. can, like, actually go back and watch it. And I think that kind of worked for me too, cause I feel like in my mind, I had more of a, I don't know. I had more of a reverence for that movie in hindsight than I actually did when I went back and watched it. I was like, oh, it actually is kind of silly to me. So, mm-hmm. Watching that, I think actually made me appreciate this movie a little bit more.
The new one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The things I liked about the new one, I know a lot of people think it's just basically the same exact movie, but, I like the way they integrated some of the newer stuff because the bullying in this movie actually felt more realistic and like it could get out of control that fast with the things, you know, in the last, I don't know, since this movie came out, I guess like 20 years or so, you have cell phones, you have the internet, it seems like people have so much access to each other now, and the mm-hmm. ability to like embarrass and like pile on to people has like really gotten out of control. And that the kids in this movie almost felt more capable of inflicting harm than in the first movie, where they really did a lot to make you feel like, well, this is a small backwoods type of place. This was more like, it doesn't matter where you're at. If your shit's on YouTube, it's embarrassing, you know, like, so, I actually kind of dug that. And then especially, you know, in the light of like how much bullying has become like a topic, lately, and seems like everything is called bullying these days. This was more like, oh yeah, this was like to not be popular and to be bullied. I actually enjoy the other characters in this as far as the females. Even the gym teacher for me was pretty cool, but I enjoyed the other girls in this because it felt kind of like half like tween, like maybe like a half Twilight or something. And and you kind of want
semi-Twilight.
It was like a little
Twilight.
Bit yeah Twilight light yeah. Twilight L-I-T-E
Twilight.
And it felt like those like all the high school portions of it were like I hated those kids, and I remember kind of those kids in school, and it was kind of like I can't wait till something bad happens to these kids. So it was cool. They made me hate them enough to want to see things done to them, at least some of them. So that was kind of cool too. And then I also liked the kid, who took her out. I think his name was Billy or something in the movie, but,
yes, it's some good old American name.
Yeah. I actually liked him in this movie as opposed to, you know, the original Carrie, and I haven't seen the made for TV one, but the original one, that kid still just felt good. Like it felt more like this dude was ever in, whereas, this Billy dude in this movie felt like he'd be in any century or any, you know, like any decade. That dude would be like, oh, he's good. And he felt more like a genuine, like he actually seemed like he cared about Carrie. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like just, well, he's forced to go do this. Cause he wasn't like a douchebag the whole movie or whatever. So I enjoyed those things about the movie. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I enjoyed about it.
Oh, it's weird because I had the total opposite reaction. Again, like the acting was maybe the nicest thing I could say about this movie, because I rewatched I watched for the very first time the De Palma version the night before seeing this one screened. And I think De Palma just does so much, does almost everything better. A lot of the shots that are taken in this new Carrie are lifted straight from the original Carrie. Mm-hmm. And then you also have complete lines of dialogue that are exactly verbatim from the original. Mm-hmm. So it's really weird. I can see what you're saying about the last one not being that relatable, or at least not as relatable as it is now, where we have cell phones everywhere tattletaling on us.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's so in its place in the 1970s. It's very, you know, the hair is so 70s, the clothes, the tuxes all have fringes on them, you know, that kind of stuff. It almost looks like a period piece now.
Yeah.
But like, I could still understand, like, that was a real problem back in those days. It's still a real problem now, and still get the same sort of feeling of sorriness for Carrie and her character as well. I was more afraid for her in the original Carrie, because she just seemed so damaged. She didn't seem like she was capable of handling people at all. And so I was legitimately much more scared. And she's not in control of her powers, where in this new Carrie, she's kind of like an X-Men.
Yeah, yeah. That was like actually a couple more things. I forgot about these things, but I was more sympathetic to this Carrie because she could kind of handle it. Like, as opposed to the first one where it's just like, well, this person's a freak. It was like, cause I mean, essentially Carrie is like a school shooting, you know, like it's not, you don't really want to feel sympathy for the person that does something like that loses it, but we all kind of do relate to this idea of being an outcast or being picked on or whatever. So it's one of those things where, in the first one, it just kind of felt like, didn't y'all know this motherfucker was gonna go crazy at some point? Where in this one, I was like, she thought she could handle it. Like, she kind of was adjusting to it. And it made me feel more sympathy for her in this one. And then her mom was played way more like understated, but way more crazier by mm-hmm. Julianne Moore. And if that made me also feel more like, well, she just comes from a sheltered background. Her mom's like a Jesus freak. Cutter.
She's like the same sort of crazy Jesus freak in the last one too.
Well, she was more, outspoken. Like when she goes to that woman's house in the beginning
mm-hmm.
and like basically confronts her, and it's more like bass in the voice, if you know what I mean. Like more of a, and then even her, she even looked more together. Like she was presentable to the outside world, and she goes house to house and, you know, and tells you to your face that y'all are going to hell and all this stuff. Where Julianne Moore decided to play it more understated, where it's like, y'all are going to hell. And you're like, what did she say?
Yeah.
Like that, you know, so that worked more for me. But, I think those were I don't know, it resonated more. And then what you really brought up that I was like, when I saw the, other Carrie version got me pissed. I don't like the sound effect for her powers in the original joint, because they make this weird whip sound like every once in a while to be, and it's like
a screechy violin thing.
Yeah, it takes me out.
It's the composer is the same guy from Psycho.
No wonder. Yeah, it makes it feels silly to me, as opposed to the weight in this one, which, you know, I don't know, I can necessarily give quote unquote credit. To it, I'm not taking any credit away, I guess, but, you know, it seems like the modern way that people represent, especially since superhero films and stuff, like, the powers, when you use them, have way more, like, depth, so there's, like, this bass, like, brrr, those horns. Mm-hmm. Like, there's way more of that kind of, like, she's looking at a mirror, and then it's like, oh, she's gonna break the mirror, oh, it's getting it. Whereas in this one, it's like, what? And like, okay, all right, well. So those are the things that worked for me. Let's actually talk about what did not work, because I don't think this is a perfect film, despite me enjoying it. Monica, what didn't work for you? I know you kind of went through some earlier.
Yeah, a little bit. let's see. That beginning sequence was kind of weird, because that was like the only like original thing that Kimberly Pierce scripted, director Kimberly Pierce scripted for the new remake. It was the birthing scene that Julianne Moore had, and she points like a pair of scissors at her baby, and you don't know whether or not it's Carrie who just got the powers to, you know, push her mother away, or if it's her mother's, you know, showing of affection, like she's gonna give this a chance.
Right.
So it was just kind of like, I didn't know what you wanted to say there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, that's it? Okay, oh, cool. So we're back to where we started before in the De Palma film.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of weird. I thought giving Sue the baby was also kind of odd as well. Is this supposed to be like some weird circle of life or whatnot?
Mm-hmm.
That she now also has a girl. It's a curse, you know.
Yeah.
They're going to be a Carrie too. It was, and that whole last sequence, because when I saw the original Carrie, I took it to mean, like, the entire school was complicit in her getting bullied.
Yeah.
So the principal didn't do anything. The teachers didn't do enough. The gym teacher didn't, like, stop it enough or so in Carrie's eyes. So that's that moment where it kind of goes into a kaleidoscope
mm-hmm.
and she's losing it, and it looks like the teacher's laughing at her too. She thinks they're all guilty of bullying her, so she kills them all.
Yes.
And in this one, it's only just certain people. And in one sense, it's almost worse, because it's like it's a straight up revenge. Like mm-hmm. you and you are dead to me. And then that's it. And then the other one, I thought it was more like she lost control of her powers. So mm-hmm. she's not as guilty as, say, like ruthless revenge murder.
Mm-hmm.
But then in this last one, because you only get the guilty girls, quote unquote, it kind of loses the subtext of that whole the school was also guilty and not protecting their own sort of thing.
But yeah, that's, I agree.
You know, my interpretation.
No, I agree with pretty much all of those, except the birth scene, I did interpret as her saying, like, I'm not going to kill this baby.
Okay.
Because then later she says, like, I should have killed you. and you know, I was weak, like I let you live. And so I took it as like, I took it for a word, which was that crazy broad in her mind thought she needed to kill that baby and couldn't because that baby was adorable or something. Yeah, yeah.
It's not adorable right then.
Right, yeah, it looked weird. Like, it was, squirming. But yeah. But it definitely set a very serious tone in that scene because it was just like, oh, shit's going to get real at some point here. Another thing we didn't mention, how did you feel about the decision in the De Palma film to have all the quote unquote high school girls naked in the shower and like really focusing on, you know, their, I don't mean it in a pervy way, but artistically to be like, these girls are like full bloom blossoming into sexuality. And here's, you know, here's Carrie, in her all, you know, all in her naked vulnerability, experiencing her first period, as opposed to this one where it was more like, you know, everybody's wearing towels and, you know, a little less on the sexuality.
Yeah. Well, I actually had a film critic friend of mine explain it in the best way, was this is what boys imagine the girls' locker room is. Mm-hmm. Like, just girls naked prancing around. Like, it's no thing that we're all, you know, buddy buddies and all naked or whatnot, but that's definitely not what it's like at all. Mm-hmm. Someone who survived high school gym lockers. So that was that explanation of that. It was the 70s. De Palma's a man. He took it because he could.
And Kimberly Pierce, you believe, was more like, no.
Well, I think she was trying to go for a little bit more authenticity, especially right. when she brings in the YouTube thing and the more modern, sort of aspects of it. It's like, that's real. That's right. real for her too. I'm sure she, you know, went through high school normal and, you know, no one's prancing around naked like that.
Yeah. And also I don't think you really need it to make the point. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even think you have to be like, here's a bush, you know, to be like, yeah, obviously Carrie.
I was like, oh, this is so 70s, man.
Right. Right.
There's another one of those. Oh man, we're watching an old movie now.
Yeah.
That was new.
Right. You could show these, but, yeah, it gets rated R in some different ways. The things I didn't like about it, I didn't like, the boyfriend character in this one. The evil boyfriend, not the good one.
Yeah, because it's kind of hard to follow in Travolta's footsteps.
Right, that was part of it, but then also
be like a meathead, dumb evil.
And he did. Yeah, he didn't have. He was just evil for no reason. Like
reason. Yeah,
he had no fucking. I don't know what they were trying to relay with that relationship, but it felt evil for no reason. I also didn't think that the principal or whatever, like, as much as he had like a more of a role, it felt weird that in 2013 that there's a dude that's that like uptight and like unable to even talk or articulate himself when it comes to like talking to the girls in the school or whatever. It just felt weird. I did buy the more rebellious like kid aspect of it because I think kids are kind of losing more and more respect these days, so I don't know if I was just older or whatever, but when
kids are evil.
Yeah, the girl who played the evil bully girl, I actually bought her, and I liked that they were like, she's rich, and they like add a lot of little background to her that kind of made sense for her to be evil. But I dislike like her pulling out at the last minute, almost like, oh no, we shouldn't do it. And then the boyfriend's like, we're going to do this. Like,
yeah.
It felt like they didn't know who they wanted to make bad guys and good guys and sympathetic and not sympathetic. And I agree also with you when you said, you liked the version better when she flipped out on everyone and was more out of control. I thought that's where they were going with it. And when they didn't, I understood the decisions because I do feel like when it pops off, when Carrie's like, oh, fuck this. Yeah. Y'all done killed my homie. You know, the only kid that's ever, you know, only dude that's been nice to me. My teacher, you know, the one gym teacher is, I like her and the rest of y'all can all go to hell. I did have this feeling where I was like, well, okay, just save those two and then kill everyone. So when, so
I was like almost disappointed when I just saw a stream of kids running out of the gym, and I was like, no, no, she missed them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weren't there like live wires on the floor with water and shit like that? Wasn't there fire?
Yeah.
Somebody else have collapsed. Like,
yeah, it was funny because
many survivors and witnesses, guys.
It was funny because she targeted the appropriate people. And then, like, she just wanted her revenge. She didn't want to, like, get a body count. She was completely in control of her powers. But because she was so in control, it almost felt like watching someone try to get away with killing people. Because then all of a sudden I'm like, well, what's going to happen after this? Like, how are you going to get out of town? You should probably not even go back home. You should just get on a bus or something. What are you going to do, Carrie? And I don't think we were supposed to feel that way. I think we were supposed to feel like,
you know, there is, you know, getting out of this one.
Right. But I started coming up with, well, why don't you just like float home now? But, so I thought that, was like, just like a weird artistic choice. And then, also the way she moved her arms when she had her powers was not working for me.
It's like X-Men.
Yeah. Yeah. It was
Killer Storm.
It is like, to me, it is like the best X-Men origin story, not done by Fox. So it was like, it felt like watching a mutant discover their powers and be oppressed. And it even has the like powers kicking in at puberty type thing. But
yeah,
I just expected Charles Xavier to show up after the credits and be like, you want to come to my school? And
yeah,
didn't.
It should have been the Avengers initiative.
You're right. So, let's go ahead and rate this bad boy from 0 to 5. You know, how you felt about this movie.
One.
All right, cool. That's like,
I would just recommend, man, if you have Netflix right now, just watch it. It's right there at your home. Why would you pay $11 to see like a cheap knockoff? Unless, you know, you like the YouTube aspect of it, but that's one of the few things that happened new to the story. So I think the story's fine as it is. The adaptation could have gone more.
All right. That save your money. TNT will have it soon, guys. For me, I'll give it actually a 4. I enjoyed this movie tremendously. I felt guilty leaving the theater because I wanted to see those twins get fucked up so bad. And they delivered on, like, the only way this movie could have been bad to me, like, ending wise, really would have been if, Carrie would have let that girl live. That was it. Like, I just was like, I need Chris to die. And then
that was another thing too. It was like a cat and mouse sort of thing where she was playing with her food right before she killed it. It just made her even more sadistic.
Yes. And I don't know if I
like that.
I live.
I like the out of control. I can sympathize a little bit more with the out of control Carrie.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand, man.
I feel sorry for her. Like, she's backed into a corner and she just swipes at the people that are there. You know?
I recognize that that is typically people's morality. I'm not even going to lie, but I don't have that switch. My switch is like, no, make her feel the way you felt when she was posting them videos. Like, I was in the theater eating popcorn. Yeah, I was talking shit in the theater. Like, not yet, Carrie. You need to burn her alive too. Like, like, she needs to suffer.
Not done.
So, I would say full price opening weekend, man. Even though I did see it during the matinee, I still would have paid full price for that shit. Cause it was a very satisfying feeling, man. But thank you guys for listening to, Spoiled Movie Reviews, episode on Carrie. Make sure you check out Monica at MCasty Movies and on Twitter and Tumblr, and check out her own podcast, Cinema Fix, which is, excellent on Film Geek Radio. So until next time, peace.
Get your act together. My life's a movie. I leave you in that act forever.
Life's like a movie. My life's like a movie. My life's like a movie.